Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, mystic scientist, adventurer. We have another 2-hour Zero Point show, thanks to BBS Radio. I work under the logo Zero Point, a term taken from Blavatsky, suggesting any living being has a zero point center, that we have such a center within the higher dimensional physics of the heart. This is the teaching that I've arrived at through my studies of esotericism and modern science. And through my books and writings and teachings, I firstly elaborate what I call the heart doctrine, which is the viewpoint in all the esoteric teachings of the different religions in Christianity, Kabbalah, Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, the secret doctrine, and other sources, the Dalai Lama's Tibetan Buddhism. They all elaborate the heart doctrine, that a person's true I am is connected to your heart. Your higher self isn't in your head or up above your head somewhere in space above your head. Your higher self is within the heart. And this is the self that we, on a mystical path, are trying to explore. We're trying to know thyself, to try to understand what we are as living beings, and not just to know these things in words, but to actually experience it in ourselves. So I elaborate the heart doctrine, that the self is within the heart, and this is described in all the mystical literature. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the self seated in the hearts of all living beings. And the idea is that there's a spiritual spark or a divine element connected to the human heart, and that life and soul come into the body in a human being through the heart and through the circulation of blood in the body. And it's all connected to the breath, because the human being is ensouled through your breath. So your spiritual nature and your soul nature, we have to understand the nature of the human heart and the circulation of the blood and how that's connected to the breath. Modern science thinks that consciousness and the mind are produced in the head by the material brain. But from a mystical perspective, this is a complete fallacy. This is the dogma that's dominated science over the past century, since we lost the idea of psychology. It's a science of the soul. But a human being is ensouled through the heart, and that is where your real I am is. In a way, the mind in the head, in the brain, is your conditioned and acquired self. And that should be secondary to the self within the heart. But what happens in life, because of all the conditioning of everything around us and the education and the media and life and such, our center of gravity of being shifts from the heart into the mind in the head. Mystics describe the mind as the moon, because the moon has no light of its own, but it reflects the light of the self within the heart. Or the moon reflects the light of the sun. Well, the self within the heart is the sun of the body. So you have a spiritual element or a spiritual self connected to the human heart. We have to reach the spiritual heart through the means of the physical heart. So I elaborate the heart doctrine, that the self is within the heart, and then I go further to try to understand this all in terms of zero-point dynamics and how there's actually a higher dimensional physics to the human heart. Aleister Crowley in states the first principle of magic is that every man and woman is a star, and he calls a star Hadet. And he says, Hadet lays down within Nui, and Nui represents the mother goddess, or space itself. So you might imagine a point source of light established in a circle, a sphere of space. So Aleister Crowley describes this as the mystical conjunction of Hadet and Nui, your star nature, and the divine mother space. I tried to explain how there's an actual physics by which we have a monadic essence that exists in seven-dimensional hyperspace. And this has certain, this little element has certain spin properties, which are imparted into the ether of the quantum vacuum surrounding the central element. And this creates different matters on different planes of being. So in a way, a human being, we emerge within, without, out of higher dimensions, and we inhabit the body. But we are not simply the body. We're not simply biological beings. We have a multidimensional nature. We have a soul and a spiritual nature. So I elaborate the heart doctrine and try to explore physics to explain the zero-point teachings. And these are the areas of my lifelong investigations and studies. I found this last week a very nice quote from, I'm not sure who this gentleman is, a Master E.K. And I think he's associated with the Theosophical Society, possibly in Australia or the Philippines. I'm not sure, but this writing of his came to me, was sent to me, and I'd like to read some of it because it so beautifully articulates the heart doctrine. The piece is entitled False I and Real I Am. There are two centers. Here Master demonstrated the place of mind and real I am. He located the mind in the head. Here is where the mind, he had shown the head. Here is the heart, or the place of real I am. This head is the place of false I am. You can call it negative I. You can call the other positive I. The latter is real. You and the former is you that became mind. Even while you are in sleep, he, the real I, is working. If not, you will die at once after you go into sleep. Physical heart is the seat where Mr. Heart exists. In brackets, laugh. Physical heart and this Mr. Heart are different from each other. Mr. Heart is the Lord existing in the heart. He is the real I am. The mind is not the real I am. This mind is false I am. This is the secretary of the real I am. So that's a very nice articulation by Master E.K. of the basic idea of the heart doctrine. And that's the zero-point program focuses on the heart doctrine and the teachings of zero-point centers and trying to understand esoteric teachings. So I have a packed show today with a guest on the half hour and the second guest on for the second hour. I'll introduce them in a few moments, but first I'll bring in co-host James Moffat. Hi, Jim, how are you?
Good, how are you, Chris?
Okay, how do you like that quote from Master E.K.?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was just, I've been reading, going to my notes from The Essential, Ken Wilber, and he's talking about, had a quote from Ramana Maharshi talking about the I, which is the source of what we take to be the I, the eternal source of I. And he says, tracing the source of I, the primal I alone remains over and it is inexpressible. The seat of realization is within, and the seeker cannot find it as an object outside him. That seat is bliss and is the core, the ultimate depth of all beings, hence it is called the heart. The mind now sees itself diversified as the universe. If the diversity is not manifest, it remains in its own essence, in its original state, and that is the heart. Entering the heart means remaining without distraction, i.e. objects. The heart is the only reality. The mind is only a transient phase. To remain as oneself is to enter the heart.
Wow, that's beautiful. Who was that again? Ramana Maharshi.
Maharshi, yeah.
From in Wilbur. Wow, what a beautiful quote.
Yeah,
exactly, the same thing is that the real eye is within the heart, and we have to learn to awaken the heart consciousness in ourselves. This has come up this week, Jim, for me, because it was interesting. Last week, Alex Jones had on David Icke, and they were talking all about kind of like what's happening in the world and about consciousness. Their main focus seems to be on this idea that, you know, that people are becoming governed by the reptilian brain,
right,
which is totally consistent, like, with what's being said in the mystical literature, too.
Yeah.
But they don't have a notion that the higher consciousness, the spiritual consciousness that people need to attain, has to do with awakening the heart. Like, people have to have the heart. They have to come back to their heart and feel in their heart. And you see how even when people speak, they know it intuitively because they speak from the heart, eh? And they use that word, you know? Like Alex Jones will say, I know in my heart that blah, 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 whatever. Like, he knows it intuitively, but the mind still thinks that somehow the brain in the head is producing consciousness. Once I heard David Icke saying, you know, we got to develop the right side of the brain to complement the left side of the brain. An idea that goes back like 30 years and is kind of really very superficial. The important thing is the distinction between the mind in the head and the self within the heart. So
yeah, it's interesting too, because I was reading this book, Science, Consciousness, and Ultimate Reality, which is a series of papers discussing those very topics. And this guy who is sympathetic to a transpersonal perspective was talking about the mind versus the brain, you know, whether or not the idea that mind is primary and or that the brain produces the mind. And he said either way, mind is somehow associated with the brain, and that's the way the nexus of our interaction with the world. But I mean, that's such a limited perspective on this, and it completely misses like the substance of the heart, the essence of the heart, the importance of the heart at the heart of all being. And as you say, it's so interesting because people intuitively know it. I was listening to the scientist talking, and he said several times about, he referred to his heart, and then he referred to spirit. He was using all these, you know, these terms which really were quite consistent with a non-materialist philosophical position to describe what was basically a materialist position. It was so odd, you know?
Yeah. In my heart, I believe that materialism is all there is to it.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Kind of paradoxical, to say the least.
Well, what's so neat about mystical spiritual psychologies is that they're so scientific in a way, like the whole additional way of understanding what we are. Like how even if you look at a human being as a quantum system, the electromagnetic volume of the heart is 5,000 times greater than that of the mind. Like clearly a human being as a quantum system is centered in the heart. And the heart begins to beat in an infant months and months before the brain is even formed in the developing fetus. Like the heart is the first to kind of differentiate and bring life into the growing fetus. Like from our very beginning, the heart is the core of our being. So people know it intuitively, but then they've forgotten this knowledge and they form this kind of false consciousness system. And Gurdjieff explains how the center of their emotional life goes from the heart into the autonomic emotions. So they only experience like lower emotions and they in a way lose their hearts connected to their soul.
I was just going to say, I find that such an interesting, I was actually trying to explain this idea about the heart, about the idea that consciousness isn't necessarily produced by the brain, that there are alternative viewpoints on that to somebody, and I said, you know, I cited that fact that the electromagnetic volume of the heart is 5,000 times greater than that of the brain, which is like such a fundamental, important scientific fact, but as you say, it's because of this set of conventions and assumptions has arisen about the mind being produced by the activities of the brain that people ignore that. But even like just to, without a heart, you wouldn't have a brain. Your brain wouldn't operate because you need the heart to circulate the blood, and the heart is the source of the life principle in the human body. So I mean, it's such a it's the outcome, I would say, like that systematically over the last 300 years, consciousness has been taken out of the universe, collapsed it out of the universe, and, you know, gradually has been moved into the human brain, and at one point was, in some perspectives, is even denied altogether. It's an epiphenomenon. It's not even real. But, you know, that it's really only in the history of humanity, it's really only in the last few hundred years, a speck of time, really, that people have believed this. And they believed it for, it's so naive to try to suggest that this is based on, this is science, you know. No, it's an interpretation and a working set of assumptions, which is based on a very restricted view of human beings and of the world, and it's completely untenable when you start considering it in terms of all the anomalies and enigmas and mysteries that confront that perspective, because clearly it's not the correct perspective, and yet people keep subscribing to it. So peculiar. So it's really quite odd when you.
Well, in a way, it all makes so much sense the way I see it, because it's like the scientists approach the study of the issue of consciousness and mind with their heads and their false self in their mind. So what they give is ego science.
Right.
It's kind of like the science of that level of consciousness. To them, with their intellects and brains, they think the consciousness must be centered in their head. Like, in a way, it's really very diagnostic, firstly, of them never having engaged in self-study.
Right.
Because if you actually go into self-study, you realize that's ridiculous. My consciousness can be all through myself, all through my body.
Yeah.
And you can feel your blood all through yourself. Your consciousness isn't just up in your head. It's the most ridiculous idea there ever was. You know?
Yeah.
It's never
yeah.
been proven. It's a complete fraud. It's a head doctrine. It's produced by these people who have an intellectual kind of egoic approach to fraud science, you know, and they never consider kind of mystical or alternative viewpoints. So it's not based in self-study, and I think that's really, whereas all the mystics approach a study of self through disciplines of meditation and self-inquiry and different life practices that help bring them to discovering, like, the nature of self within them. And they all end up kind of coming back and finding it within their own heart, which is
so
under
funny,
their noses all the time.
Yeah, well,
I love
it's so
that
funny.
Expression.
It's so funny that the people who describe them as being themselves as being rationalists and empiricists and skeptics that subscribe to a materialist position, they'll always cite how easily people fall under illusions, or how easily people are misguided by things, and how common sense often distorts people's perceptions of things as the true nature of reality, but they never apply that to themselves in terms of, like, they never seem to entertain the possibility that their understanding of the nature of the self, or the nature of consciousness, or the nature of mind, it might somehow be a product of their illusions. I mean, that's the fundamental teaching of the esoteric and mystical teachings, is that in our normal waking state of consciousness, we labor under these psychological illusions, and the first thing we have to understand is that we're not properly conscious, and that our understanding of everything is distorted because we're not properly conscious. And then I remember years ago when we first started writing about consciousness from a esoteric perspective, you asked, and I think it was in your doctoral thesis, you said, how is it that scientists thinking about consciousness think that consciousness is thinking? I mean, you know, it's
yeah, kind of paradox. Yeah,
it's the ultimate experimenter effect, as they say in psychology. It's like it's produced by the it's an illusion produced by your methodology. And it's unrecognized within the discipline. It's really funny. It's really strange, actually.
The self is within the heart. This is the most profound and essential idea of mystical and spiritual teachings, and we need to discover this and experience this within ourselves. So I hope listeners will, like, just, that's the most important message of the week. And I'd like to try to move on, because got some other pretty kind of crazy things to go into today, and got some guests and an active schedule here. But it's good to have the heart doctrine teaching. In a way, in Christianity, they talk about people being upright of heart. because it is said that, like, if your lower nature controls your heart, then you're controlled by three centers below the heart chakra. And then your primary motivations in life are money, sex, and power. And you'll be driven through life for money, sex, and power. And the next step in human evolution on this planet, if humankind is going to awaken before 2012 or awaken in these times of lunacy, is to get to the level of the heart, the next stage of human evolution, where people begin to discover the selves within the hearts. And it's this heart consciousness and heart self that we need to spread, we need through the world at this time in history. People are waking up to the fact that somehow our governments and nations have become totally criminalized. We have criminal wars going on, and we have the creation of a terrorist police state in our own society. We have the impoverishing of nations through the banksters and the criminal cartels that run our countries. The more and more one learns about what's happening in the world, it's like you wake up and it's a madhouse. And the whole thing is hidden from the mass of the public, who are like sheep people, who just kind of are led along and led what to believe by the media, and they watch their TVs and they think they're informed. Well, the media is like totally criminally corrupted. The corporate media, its primary function is to intentionally deceive you, spin things, leave out all the essential things happening in the world that they don't want you to know about. They keep you titillated and distracted enough that all these terrible things are happening within our own societies and around the world. But one would never know if you watch the media, the mainstream media. So now we have a whole internet movement and alternative programming exposing the lies of the corporate media. The more one wakes up, in a way, the more horrifying it is. I woke up with the realization that 9/11 was a fraud. And I had no idea. 3 years ago now, I had no idea. All of a sudden, woke up and realized the whole thing was a fraud. And everybody knows it. In a way, it's the elephant in the room. Everybody knows, most people now know 9/11 wasn't done by Muslim and Arab terrorists flying reindeers into the towers. That's just not what happened. But to realize what did happen is like, holy smokes, you begin to realize we've all been intentionally deceived through the media, intentionally. And as you wake up more and more, you see that the media continually deceives us. And you realize, oh yeah, it's because the media has been all infiltrated by the CIA and it's owned by the same cabal of the elites and so on. This terrible mind conditioning they brought upon the people of our nations. We've been so hypnotized and led to believe in so many lies about everything. It's amazing. It's amazing. Our police have betrayed the people so widely. The police in our societies, they don't capture the criminals anymore. Like, are there no CIA people who, don't you think we better arrest someone for 9/11 other than pretend it's Muslims and torture them and pretend that they confess after being waterboarded for 3 years? Like, you know, like, doesn't anyone in the CIA, like, care? You don't care for your nation? The FBI, none of you care? You know, doesn't the RCMP in Canada, you guys don't care, you're going to cover up the truth of 9/11, you know the whole time, the whole thing was completely criminal. But then you realize these criminal people who did that criminal thing, they're in charge of our governments, they own our political parties. They own it, the whole complex of intrigue and blackmails and briberies, and as you see, these elites kind of feed off people like pigs. They don't care how much human suffering they cause around the world. Oh, kill 2 million people in the Middle East. Oh, yeah, all good days work. You know, we can say we're spreading democracy. Poison the world. You know, and then they pretend it's some kind of war righteousness, and the whole time everybody knows now it was done by corporate greed and the masters of war and the Kissinger Rockefeller cartels and all these people. They scheme these things. They deceive the public. This isn't new. You know, there was a coup in the United States with the assassination of Kennedy, and these people have controlled the United States since, and they control the Canadian government too, is now all complicit in these things. It's terrible. The RCMP don't bother catching their men. That used to be the motto of the RCMP. We always catch our men. They don't even bother anymore now. Now what the RCMP do, they protect war criminals like Bush when he comes to Calgary. They go out there to protect the war criminals. Bush should be arrested for implication in the 9/11 attack, which murdered 24 Canadians. But the RCMP don't care anymore. They're corrupted. CSIS is corrupted, the Canadian Intelligence Service. They don't share any intelligence with Canadians. They don't. They just deceive Canadians. They've allowed the Canadian public to be deceived about 9/11. We were led to believe it was Muslim terrorists. The whole thing was a lie. And now millions and tens of millions of people are learning this. And our governments have hidden it from us. It's just terrible. What happened to us as a nation? What happened to us as a people? It's like humankind has gone insane.
I'm breaking
they
in
really
here.
Have.
I'm just trying to let you know that we tried to get in touch with Robin, but the son is telling us that Robin won't be home for an hour. I have left our number so that he can call us. So that's just a heads up.
Okay, thanks. It's like it's a world insane. It's a world gone insane, and it's so tragic. And we're in the midst of it because now people around the world are beginning to realize, these people are robbing us blind. These elites, like the elites, offshore bankers, are robbing the American people, robbing you blind. All pretend they're protecting your economy and taking trillions of dollars out of your country. Unbelievable. Biggest bank fraud of all times. Does anyone arrest anyone? No, of course they don't arrest them. You know, it's like there's complete lawlessness in the nation. Complete lawlessness. You know, you get sprayed by chemtrail sprayings coast to coast across the United States and Canada. You're being sprayed with aluminum and barium, and they put in drugs and pharmaceuticals sometimes. All they try out different things on you. They're spraying people, and it creates illness in your populace, and then you go and you buy their pharmaceutical drugs, which cause other problems, and then they have other drugs for that. They spread illness among the population. You want to see who the terrorists are? You want to see the terrorists in an airplane? Look up at the chemtrails. They're spraying you with poisons. That's a terrorist doing that. He's part of a terrorist network, and this is allowed by your terrorist governments. It's just unbelievable. In Canada now, they're trying to bring in new legislation so that it can't prevent people from having health products, anything that might keep you healthy. You know, they try to ban colloidal silver, which people are using for flus and as a natural antibiotic. They don't want to spread health care. Now what the government's wanting to do is they want to have enforced inoculations across Canada. Seriously. Enforced inoculations across Canada. Here's an article from the Calgary Herald. Canada to vaccinate entire population. It's from the CanWest News Service, June 21st. 5 to 40-year-olds. And Canada's Aboriginal communities should be the first to get vaccinated against swine flu, experts say, as Canadian officials decide who gets priority for the flu shots. Under Canada's official pandemic plan, the entire population would ultimately be immunized against the H1N1 swine flu. So So this is the plan for the mass inoculations of all Canadians by inoculations which obviously have no scientific research and foundation because they couldn't possibly have been devised and tested in this time period. It's like totally ridiculous. The H1N1 swine flu is according to numerous medical researchers, it's been created by themselves in their own labs. They've creating these things and they're spreading it. This can be their new 9/11. Is that they're gonna have outbreaks and spread some of their swine flu around, and then they're gonna have mass inoculations of people. In the United States, they want to have a series of 3 inoculations for all Americans. Yeah, series of 3. And they'll sell it through your TVs and your corporate media, and they'll have a mother with their children, and they'll play upon your emotions. And, oh, if you love your children, you get them vaccinated. And they'll just brainwash people into lining up, wanting their vaccinations to be saved from the boogeyman. And meanwhile, there'll be poisons in your vaccinations. The pharmaceutical and vaccination companies are entwined in this whole endeavor. Here's another article came across my desk. Journalist files charges against WHO, the World Health Organization, and the UN for bioterrorism and intent to commit mass murder. This is by article by Barbara Milton from the Natural News. It reads, as the anticipated July date for Baxter's AN1N1 flu pandemic vaccine approaches, an Austrian investigative journalist is warning the world that the greatest crime in the history of humanity is underway. Jane Burgermeister has recently filed criminal charges with the FBI against the World Health Organization, the WHO, the United Nations, and several of the highest-ranking governments and corporate officials concerning bioterrorism and attempts to commit mass murder. She has also prepared an injunction against forced vaccinations, which is being filed in America. These actions follow her charges filed in April against Baxter and Avier Green Hills Biotechnical of Austria for produce contaminating bird flu virus, alleging this was a deliberate attempt to cause and profit from a pandemic. In her charges, Burgermeister presents evidence of acts of bioterrorism that is in violation of U.S. law by a group operating within the United States under the direction of international bankers, who control the Federal Reserve, as well as the WHO, UN, and NATO. This bioterrorism is for the purpose of carrying out a mass genocide against the U.S. population by use of a genetically engineered flu pandemic virus with the intent of causing death. This group has annexed high government offices in the U.S. And it goes on, names some of these people. We are facing serious problems in our society at this point with what is being done economically in terms of our health care. Our whole society is like they've created chaos. They create chaos, and they're using that to try to bring in a new world order, which isn't a new world order, but it's the old world psychiatric disorder. It's the same old men and perverts and satanists and egomaniacs who've been mass murdering people for the last 50 years around the world and telling us lies about everything that happens through all their media which they own. It's the same people. They're here. They're continuing on with their agenda. They've even erected the Georgia Guidestones in the state of Georgia. And this is supposed to have been done by a Mason. Some kind of Mason this was. But anyway, it was dedicated to the 500 million people who survived for a sustainable world. And these Georgia Guidestones are there in Georgia. It's like you get a monument built to you before it happens. There is a this is a shocking article. This woman is very brave. This Burgermeister, this Austrian journalist. I guess this follows from the news that came out before about Baxter sending out 72 kilos of live bird flu viruses to 18 countries of Europe. See, we face a serious problem in our countries because we never capture the criminals who do any of the crimes in our society. Going back to Kennedy, no one ever bothered. No one was ever caught for Kennedy. No, it was never explained. You spend billions and billions and billions on all your CIA, FBI, and everything like that. They never really solve the crimes and protect America. It's just all fraudulent. They've all become corrupted. It's like how the scum rises to the top of the waters of life, and all this scum rises to the top. So these people infiltrate all your essential services. Why isn't the CIA, why aren't they going after these people? Millions of people know now. Well, about the Rockefeller, Rothschild, their plans for genocide, and there's many instances of them doing this around the world, but there's never any justice. No one's ever called to task. We have nations completely run by corporate criminals. I don't know who all these people are, but many of their names are just in the public domain. If these people were ever arrested, the whole thing would unfold, the whole sick thing. Our nations have been taken over. We've lost the United States of America as a free and independent country. Instead, the United States is kind of driving for world dominance. Now beginning, they want to mass murder more people in Iran. They put out $400 million into the CIA to try to undermine Iran from within and funding protests and misleading the public again. I saw Henry Kissinger on the news saying why, you know, that they need a change in Iran, a change of regime for Henry Kissinger. Miss mass murderer number one. Well, you know, it's likely been involved in the mass murder of 50, 60, 70 million people over his life as his life of control of the shadow element that controls the U.S. And it's just so astonishing what's happened to us as a people in the world, in the United States of America, a nation that stood so tall and people around the world believed in. But it was lies. It's been based on lies. Now Americans are needing to take back their nations, and Canadians, we in Canada, need to do this same thing. We need to take our nation back from these psychopaths and stop the things that they're bringing about. We can see it all ahead of time. We have to learn from history. There are people in the world who believe in committing genocide and believe in eugenics and believe that they're special and they have extra privilege to life. There are people like that in the world. They're called psychopaths. Many of them exist among the elites because they get everything they want through their lives. They care only for themselves. They have no hearts for other people. There's something fundamentally missing in them that I call it the old world psychiatric disorder. You want to see what that is? Watch Henry Kissinger. He embodies what that means, the old world psychiatric disorder. He embodies it. People don't see it. They think these people are great statesmen. They're not great statesmen. They're great mass murderers. These people are soulless. They lose their soul or they sell their souls. These people need these people in our countries to be arrested and brought to justice, or else we're going to end up in police states with all the police militarized, surveillance everywhere, and people chipped and taking your property and your possessions and your pensions and your food and your air and your water. People around the world, we need to be waking up, and however we can, be taking action, even if it's just talking to people in your life circumstance or doing what you can do. When the trumpet sounds, what do you say? Well, what were you doing? Weren't you aware of anything that's happening in the world? It's so outrageous, you know. Where's the Christian nation You know, where are the Christians supposed to, you know, believe in the Sermon on the Mount and peace and love of your neighbor? Why were there no Christians out protesting anywhere? They support mass murders now. They've been so brainwashed. It's just astonishing what's happening in the world. As I woke up years ago, I experienced the most shocking and kind of it like broke down. It's like how Gurdjieff says about awakening, or there's three levels. There's awakening, which is kind of you wake up and you realize what's happening, and then dying, he says, and you kind of like you die. Everything you thought you believed in is a lie. Like, you know, where the RCMP aren't protecting us, the government isn't protecting us. You know, all these things are being done criminally around us. The public is led to believe in Osama bin Laden. This whole thing's been a lie. And the government, the RCMP and these people, they know who did these things. They know who these networks are and people are. The whole thing is a fraud and lie. Canadian people have been lied to. Our government is controlled by these psychopaths just like the American government is. And it's hard to know, you know, many of these people, like, they're so compartmentalized and deceived and things like that, that they don't know when they get into these things what it is really involved until they get in. And many people are caught in this whole web of atrocities being done within our society. So these people, we need truth hearings, and we let some of these people kind of walk away from what they're doing and the truth to come back and to take our nations back from these corporate bankster elite. You know, what more do we want? We got all kinds of evidences. Conspiracy to commit mass murder. Take that to the RCMP. Maybe I'll try that this next week. I'll file a complaint against the RCMP. And I want them to demand that they investigate this conspiracy to commit mass murder through enforced inoculations in Canada. Let's take that to the RCMP. Have them investigate. But then they won't investigate. They'll just arrest me. You're going to arrest me under their terrorist legislation. You see, it's just such a fraud. They've so betrayed us as a country, as a nation. Our politicians, our banksters, how could these people do such things? How is this possible, what's happened to us as nations? It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's the wildest tale. I just think, oh, this is God's story. This is God's story. Like, the real truth of what's happening in the world, like, it's bigger than anybody, any novelist has any penned anything in comparison. You could compare it to Lord of the Rings, but I mean, it's monstrous. And it's so subtle and complex and so insidious. And it's true. So there's awakening, waking up and realizing these things and then dying. It's like all these things you thought you were and you believed in have all been lies. And that's all stripped away from you. And then Gurdjieff says being reborn. And I think that's the kind of process we go through when people come to the truth movement. You kind of wake up, you die, and then you have to be reborn. And you need to have heart. We need to collectively face these monsters upon us in modern times. The world is edging ever closer to Armageddon and possible major nuclear attacks against Iran. You know, so the Americans and the Israel can have achieved their world domination for the psychopaths who control your country. It is so sick. It's like they can't let anyone have a life. They can't let the people of Iran alone. You know, do you know where United States? Look at the map. You should all go home. All go home from around the world and let the people of the world be free of your military involvement and in slavery. And the American public pays for it all, and you sacrifice your children off of these psychopaths at the head of it, who sell it all to you through propaganda and lies through your media. The whole thing is just astonishing. Well, so I don't know what to do in my life. I'm just this kind of pathetic clinical and forensic psychology who studied mysticism for 30 years. What can I do? You know, like wake up in an insane world. Well, one thing I've done is I've become involved in Canada in the Canadian Action Party. And most recently, I've been involved in helping develop policies for the Canadian Action Party. And I'd like to... our first guest wasn't available, so I'm kind of carrying on, and hopefully he'll join us in a while. But this is a policy which I wrote up and have had feedback, and we've revised as it went through the policy committee of the Canadian Action Party. It's entitled Biological Threats, Including the Swine Flu, Bird Flu, the H1N1 Virus. And it begins with a quote from Bertrand Russell from a book called The Impact of Science on Society. And Bertrand Russell was one of these kind of philosophers involved in the New Age order type thinking philosophies back through 30, 40 years, very acclaimed intellectual. And here's what Bertrand Russell had to say. At present, the population of the world is increasing. If a black death could be spread throughout the world once in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. This state of affairs might be somewhat unpleasant, but what of it? Really high-minded people are indifferent to suffering, especially that of others. Can't you just see this man's arrogance, the kind of pathetic nature of what this person is saying? Really high-minded people are indifferent to suffering, especially that of others, as though they're high-minded.
Are you sure you're quoting him in context?
Yes, I think I am, Jim. But sure. I mean, I don't have the more. I got this as a quote.
Well, you know, Bertrand Russell was one of the leading pacifists, one of the leading activists against nuclear weapons, right, during the 60s and the 50s.
Was he?
Well, he was arrested for it, too.
Yeah.
He was arrested when he was in his 90s. So I'm kind of wondering if that's a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. Like, he certainly...
Oh. Do you have that book, Jim? The Impact of Science?
I'd really like to see the context of that quote, because I have a feeling that he's not really saying that. I may be completely wrong, but I'm just kind of wondering, because it seems so at odds with his perspective and his position. Like I say, he was in his 90s, and he was arrested for opposing nuclear weapons, and he was very active in trying to, you know, stop the spread of nuclear weapons, and was very much against the Cold War, and it doesn't seem very consistent with his political positions. That he was a pacifist too. That's why I find it hard to believe that's, you know.
Well, that puts the onus on me to dig out his book and read it. I'll need to do that because I have the quote from the book, but I don't have the context of it. I'll have to, but I'll come back and address that, because I certainly wouldn't want to kind of put this angle on it if that really wasn't.
A lot of things I very much disagree with Bertrand Russell on, but that just seems so at odds with my impression of his work. But what book is that?
But let me just finish it up here, because he has this quote that I've often heard quoted from him. He says, gradually, by selective breeding, the congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebs would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton.
It's kind of like Gurdjieff with the shepherd who hit the
and makes sense
that they're men and others that they're magicians, and nobody thinks that they're going to get slaughtered and that they're going to be taken from.
Okay, so I'm going to carry on here, because we've got a... So that was just the opening quote to this policy that's been passed through the policy committee of the Canadian Action Party. And that was the opening quote. And I thought that very significant, because I think that, in a way, these elites in the world I think that's their attitude, that they are completely indifferent to the suffering of other people. Like, if they can have more power and make money and have more control by invading countries and mass murdering people, like, that's not a problem to it. It's like their empire. It's their war games they play. So I thought that is so, that quote, really high-minded people are indifferent to suffering, especially that of others. I thought that is so significant. Anyway, the policy it goes whereas, and then it has a therefore, and there are two whereases. Whereas the global elite, including Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller, the UN and other think tanks operated and or influenced by the elites, proposed population reduction as a means of preserving life on the planet and ensuring the use of the world's resources for the self-selected elite. Further, biology labs are used to create all kinds of new viruses and influenzas using recombinant DNA methodologies and gene splicing. The threat of global pandemics is now very real, as the elites perceive such flu viruses as the means by which they could effect, in part, a population reduction. AIDS has now been proven by Dr. Len Horowitz's emerging viruses, AIDS and Ebola, to have been created and dispersed into the populations of sub-Saharan Africa and the homosexual communities as such a weapon of mass destruction. Such biological diseases are also spread as a means of reducing food supplies and have led to mass culling of livestock around the world to stop the spread of such illnesses. The most recent H1N1 influenza is itself suspect as a product of the biological weapons industry. And this on the internet, this is confirmed and elaborated in extensively by Dr. Bill Deagle on Genesis Communications and Dr. Rebecca Carley and Dr. True Ott and Len Horowitz. All these people are, the H1N1 has been created, and we're being deceived and not really learning the truth about the pandemic and now the pandemic conditions and how these could be used against the population. Anyway, secondly, the second whereas not only are threats posed by such engineered biological bacteria and viruses, but further, the outbreak of such pandemic might also be used as a pretext to impose martial law, restrict population movement, and to introduce programs of enforced inoculations. Such enforced inoculations may themselves constitute another weapon of mass destruction to be used against the civilian and non-civilian populations. These inoculations are introduced without adequate testing and research, and the corporate pharmaceutical companies obstruct the objective scientific evaluation of their inoculation products while consistently denying negative effects and research. Therefore, the Canadian Action Party demands criminal investigations and open public inquiries into all the eugenics programs of the global elite, the research being done in biological labs within Canada, and the immediate investigation of all inoculation programs. We oppose any enforced inoculations and would ban any media propaganda used to influence and or convince the populace into submitting to inoculations or other preventative methods, which are not clearly and unequivocally documented scientifically to be safe and effective. CAP favors the CAP stands for Canadian Action Party. CAP favors the use of voluntary home quarantines, natural medicines, and detection test kits as the primary method of containing such outbreaks. We reject the use of any Canadian facilities to participate in designing and or creating any biological weapons of mass destruction. CAP also calls for the removal of personnel and the funding of joint ventures with non-Canadian companies and foreign countries engaged in such biological warfare activity. Lastly, we demand criminal investigations into the possible corruption of Health Canada and the inordinate influence and control exerted by the major pharmaceutical companies over our elected government officials and public agencies. So that policy was passed last week through the policy committee, and then it has yet to get through the executive committee or to be approved by the leader of the party. But that's as far as we've gotten that policy at this time. That's quite a handful, eh, Jim?
Yeah, well, I mean, on the AIDS question, I mean, boy, I don't know about that. It's like, that's, you know, that's a pretty bold statement. I'm not sure what, you know, I mean, I don't think you could say that that's documented. I mean,
it is documented. Go on.
Because you say that, you just say it like it's documented. By who? Under what circumstances? Who can prove this? You know,
you'd have to go to the research literature, Jim, to see. That's what you have to do. You say it's not been proven and there's no documents, but you've not researched it or tried to document it.
No, you don't know these people and their work. I'm just saying. I don't think you know that, and I don't think anybody knows that. I'll definitely look at it. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm just saying you don't know that. I mean, you just don't. I mean, I don't think anybody knows that. Like, just because somebody says
it. Why would you think nobody knows that? There's books on it, Jim. There's books and all kinds of documents which have been come up.
This has been studied for about 25 years, and there's all sorts of different ideas as to what actually happened, as to how AIDS, I mean, there's been a variety. Like, I mean, there's some people say it's HIV causes AIDS. Other people say HIV does not cause AIDS. Some people say AIDS is man-made. Some people say it was passed from monkeys and gorillas in Africa. There's all sorts of different theories. There's all sorts of different explanations of it. And to just say, blanketly say that it was intentionally created in a laboratory is a really, like, you know, it's
well,
really...
Well, you go, really, who you should go to is Len Horowitz. He's the most prominent, I think he's a... Harvard graduate, public health expert. He may be a medical doctor. He's in public health, and he's on BBS on Monday or Tuesday night around 12 o'clock here. But I mean, Len Horowitz, he's the one whose book was AIDS, Ebola, and Other Emerging Viruses. I mean, he's the most well-known person who's made and documented that claim. And his evidence is out there. I mean, I've seen his videos. He reports what the documents are and what his evidences are. It's a complex issue. But irrespective of that, I think the broader thing is that the elites do invest huge amounts into biological research and warfare, and they are very capable of having enforced inoculation programs. I mean, that's what these people are doing. They give these massive inoculation programs, cause all kinds of damages to people, makes billions for the pharmaceutical companies. Like, Harper put $300 million Canadian dollars into giving Gardasil to all the young women in eastern Canada. Like, what is that? That it's insane. It should be prosecuted. And then he has someone in his cabinet who leaves his position and he goes to work for Merck Pharmaceutical, you know, some huge salary and such. These people aren't protecting our health. They're controlled by this new world order scum elite. They are.
Well, you make it sound like there's a bunch of guys who are sitting around in one room pulling all these strings. It's like, I agree with you about the pharmaceutical industry, and I agree with you about forced inoculations. I mean, I'm not getting inoculated. I mean, you know, and I would state that to court. But having said that, like, I think, you know, there, a lot of these things happen on different levels, and they happen on industry levels, and people buy people. I mean, you know, the pharmaceutical lobby has always been one of the most, you know, powerful lobbies in Canada, the United States. There's an excellent article a couple of years ago about how in the New York Review of Books about, well, maybe not even a couple, maybe earlier this year, about how they control so much research into psychiatric research and research medical schools, you know, and push their agenda so that they, I mean, I believe all that, but it's a big step. It's a big step from that. I mean, I don't think there's any question that, it's not a question. I mean, I think it's well known that happened, but it's a big step from that to saying people are trying to commit genocide, by inoculating people or trying to commit genocide by creating biological weapons. I mean, yeah, sure, there are biological weapons developed all over the world, and there are all sorts of laboratories that are doing awful things with bad intentions. But again, I'll go back to my question. I was like, I don't see exactly how this is supposed to work. If you're spraying people with chemtrails to reduce the population, aren't you spraying yourself? Like, I mean, you know, it's like,
well that is done too.
How are these people protected from these agents that they're, I mean, see, I see it more economically. People are always getting rid of toxic chemicals, throwing in the water, throwing them in the earth, you know, like, I mean, that's a huge industry. The mob is very big in that, you know, it's a lot of money in it, getting rid of this stuff. But it's a big, and there's all sorts of industries that pollute and release all these things and kill people and poison people. I mean, that happens all the time. Like, you know, that's multiple documentation of that.
Yes,
you know,
there is.
All over the world. But that's motivated by greed. That's motivated by money. That's motivated by people trying to get away with things that they shouldn't be trying to get away with, you know. And then political things.
I say it's much more complex than that, and that there is this group of world elites who want to effect a broader genocidal activities. But anyway, I think I heard our guest come in, and is that Kevin? Are you online?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Or, and is Robin there by chance? Okay, I guess Robin is. Kevin, maybe you'll just give me a moment and I'll just...
Robin can't make it. I did speak to Robin, and Robin cannot make it. They thought it was for tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, so, yeah, back on air. So, Jim and I do have fundamental disagreements about this, because my perspective definitely is that there is this group of world elitists who are trying to affect population reduction and seize all the assets of the United States and other sovereign countries all under their control as a worldwide conspiracy. So that is my view, and they do meet in rooms, all kinds of them. And there's not just one group, there's all competing groups. It's a complex kind of area of study. But anyway, my next guest, Kevin, is that, did you by chance hear any of our program thus far?
I about 2 minutes of it.
Okay. So I just went through a new CAP policy and about biological threats and our concern about the manufacture of these new viruses, which can then now lead to kind of mass inoculations and enforced inoculations of people. And then I had an article that I dug up that they want to start with vaccinating the native communities first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're a person who's investigated the genocide of Canadian Aboriginal population. And how many people did you estimate in terms of the residential schools in Canada and the terrible abuse and genocide that went on through those schools? So maybe I can pass it to you, Kevin.
It's really hard to give an exact number, but we do know that even the government now in the Globe and Mail and other papers have acknowledged as of 2 years ago something we've been saying for 12 years, which is that the death rate in the schools was around 50% for decades, and even a conservative estimate would be 50,000 plus children over a century. And you know, we can look at how biological warfare has been used in Canada already by looking at the Native people, because they were the main target of biological warfare for centuries. You know, everything from smallpox blanket distribution, which has been confirmed. There's on the East Coast. And this is on our film Unrepentant, on our website, hiddenfromhistory.org. But on the East Coast, General Amherst was using blankets against the Mi'kmaq people in the 1700s, and he kept a journal of that where he described how they went about it. In the residential schools, they were deliberately infecting children with tuberculosis by putting the healthy with the sick and then never treating them, letting them die en masse. So we don't have to look very far in our own country or history to see that it's already been practiced. And in a lot of ways, I think Native people were kind of the canary in the mine shaft. They were the test case for trying out a lot of the drugs. We know that in the Indian hospitals all over Canada, which were run by the federal government and the Catholic and United and Anglican churches, we know that people were not only being sterilized, but a whole series of experimental drugs were being tried out for decades on these unwitting test subjects, little kids, who died again en masse from these things. So in a way, if you want to look at what's happening now, we have to look at how our government and, you know, forces here have done it in the past, and it's kind of a model for what's happening now, I think.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's like history repeats itself. It's like we've never dealt with the genocide against the Aboriginals, and I think the average Canadian and average American, our karma may come back upon us. We'll experience what it is to be victimized in such a way.
Well, I think that's certainly a possibility, like on the horizon. I think, you know, when you look at the mandatory vaccination legislation brought in, I guess the question would be why. And you know, there's been some good, I don't know if you guys have talked about this over the last hour, but that recent information about the Baxter Corporation and how they actually developed and it looks like they deliberately created the pandemic in order to profit in the billions of dollars from the vaccines that they had all ready to go a day after the pandemic was announced. Normally it takes months to develop these vaccines. They had it ready to go the next day, so obviously they'd been preparing.
Yeah, I think they developed the vaccine and the agents together, like that's kind of what they do. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry for them. And I'd mentioned the incident in Europe where Baxter had shipped so many vials of live bird flu virus in their inoculations.
Yep. That's what I mean. The interesting thing about Baxter is they're actually a subsidiary of YF Pfizer, which is one of the two biggest pharmaceutical corporations in the world. And they're linked to this other Swiss group called Roche Gilead. And Gilead, that's where Donald Rumsfeld was one of the CEOs before he went into the Bush administration. He worked for Gilead Pharmaceuticals. So, you know, clearly I think this has been in the works for a little while, and Rumsfeld used his position to, you know, he was talking about possible pandemic flus and all that before he left office. I think that's pretty clear what's been planned for a number of years.
Yeah, they lay the framework and the foundation for it ahead of time. Like they have all their legislation that'll enable them to bring about a police state and enforced inoculations by then spreading their pandemic. And then all the media coverage of it is so fraudulent. Like, there's like so many deaths in the United States, but apparently 40,000 a year die of flu anyway. So it's
absolutely.
Not like
I think they around the world, pandemic. Half a million.
Sorry?
Half a million people die every year from the flu around the world, and it's not considered a pandemic. So, I mean, you know, it's very odd, the logic here.
Yeah, there's so many inconsistencies. To me, it's just another 9/11, that all the evidences point to that really the whole thing's a fraud, perpetrated through the media, perpetrated by these health organizations which have become criminalized, like the World Health Organization and Health Canada and the FDA and so on. They're controlled by the corporations. And they really don't care for people, protecting people. So I had hoped to have a Native man on today who's kind of become aware of this and has joined the Canadian Action Party, because we've got this new policy that we got through the first level of our committees against bioterrorism, and raises a question. We need a criminal investigation in Canada into what is happening around this H1N1 and the whole question of enforced inoculations. And I was reading about this journalist who has, I don't know, she filed charges against WHO and the UN for bioterrorism and intent to commit mass murder. You'd heard about that.
Yeah, she's trying to get an injunction against the mandatory inoculations, too.
Yeah, I think we need to I'm going to be trying to work with Native communities to help to push that and go to the RCMP and demand some investigation of it. Like,
well,
I think we need to...
About that, like, I think very much the native people are being targeted by this. You know, the government's even said that they're going to be first on the priority list for inoculation.
Yes.
I'll give you an example of why that's out and out genocide, because in the downtown east side of Vancouver, you see nurses from, it's called Providence Healthcare, which is a Catholic church. They go around and they find homeless native people in the alleys, and without their consent, they literally shove the needle in their arm. And, you know, the last thing you want to do with people who are in a weakened condition, who are drug dependent, who are in poverty or hungry, or already very sick, if you give them a vaccine, their immunological level is so low that it's liable to kill them or make them very sick.
Yeah,
you
just
see that happening all the time.
It's
so why would these people be prioritized when they're the ones most likely to react in a bad way to these vaccines?
Wow. And what group is it that's doing that?
It's called Providence Healthcare. It's run by the Catholic Church.
Oh, so doesn't that inspire you to have faith in the Catholic Church? Has the Catholic Church been involved in any of the kind of genocidal history of what's happened on...
They were the main actor. I mean, to give you an example, you know, in Quebec, the Duplessis orphans, if people know about them, you know, for decades, the Catholic Church and the Duplessis government transferred kids out of Catholic orphanages into psychiatric hospitals where they were given, you know, they were used in drug testing, all sorts of, you know, the MK-Ultra mind-controlled experiments, all that stuff. Thousands of these kids died, and the Catholic Church has completely gotten away with it. They formulated the policy of the residential schools. They ran most of the schools, and they were used, you know, I've got dozens of stories documented of people who suffered experimentation at the hands of, you know, in these Indian hospitals and at the hands of priests and nuns and that. So they've been involved in this for a long time, and in fact, even the big pharmaceutical companies like Eli Lilly, they're a big contributor to through a thing called the Fund for Theological Education. They fund a lot of the seminaries and the colleges where priests and clergymen are trained in the United States. So there's a long history between the churches and these pharmaceutical companies. And when you look at the history of the Rockefeller interest in Nazi Germany and how closely the Vatican was working with IG Farben and others, you know, Pope John Paul II, the Polish fellow who died, just the one before Ratzinger, he worked for IG Farben in Poland before he became a priest. So, I mean, that's the kind of close link that, you know, it's easy to document.
Yeah. Do you know any of the history of how it's said that kind of Nazis infiltrated the World Health Organization very early on, as I've gathered? You must be familiar with that a bit, too.
Well, a little bit. I mean, the reality is that after World War II, it was the United States government brought in thousands of these SS doctors through Project Paperclip, usually through Canada. You know, they came in through Canada first, and a lot of them stayed here to work in these various programs. But one of the things that is pretty evident, too, is that the World Health Organization, since at least the 1990s, has been putting sterilization substances in their polio vaccines. Robert McNamara, who helped, you know, he was like the architect of the Vietnam War. He was Kennedy's Secretary of Defense. He went on to work for the World Health Organization in a thing called the Expanded Immunization Program. And he talked openly. I remember reading an interview he did with a Paris magazine around 1996. And he said that the aim of their program was to bring down the world's population through immunization and other programs. So they're very open about using vaccines to do that. And in fact, recently in the Philippines, some of the community groups there got a hold of one of these polio vaccines. They did an independent analysis of it, and they found a chemical called Heptavax, which is a sterilizing agent. They've been working in the third world for a long time, sterilizing a lot of people there through the vaccination programs. So if it can happen there, why wouldn't it happen here as well? That's really the question.
Yeah, we've never thought it could, but now we see how they're trying to bring, like, the states down to a third world order country almost by taking all the good jobs out of the country and impoverishing the country and so on. It's like it's our turn. That's how I feel. It's like the karma's upon us. We've never dealt with these issues through the last 50 years. So going back, you were saying that, so this order of the Catholic Church is injecting these people on the streets of Vancouver with these inoculations.
Yeah, that happens all the time. We've documented it. I've had people on my radio program talking about it. I should actually mention our website, www.hiddenfromhistory.org, and that's got a lot of this evidence on there for people to go to if they like.
We do have Robin with us now as well. Robin is with us.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to just invite our next guest in who's just joined us. Robin, you there? Welcome.
I'm here.
Okay, Robin, over the last half hour or so, I was reading the new CAP policy against biological threats and talking about the kind of creation of these viruses and how we could end up with enforced inoculations and how that is supposed to begin with native communities. And I also have online here Kevin Nanette from www.unknownhistory.com, who's been exposing over the last 10, 20 years the genocide committed against the Aboriginals on the West Coast through the residential schools. So we're kind of talking about the general theme of the kind of danger inherent of genocide, the same kind of things being repeated at this time. And so maybe you could say anything you'd like to introduce yourself, Robin, and any comments. You're in the Native community, I understand.
Yes, I am. I'm an Aboriginal myself from Alberta. And what really bothered me, I've been following this New World Order stuff now for about a year and a half, and it really got to me the other day when I heard on TV how the natives in Manitoba are, how they sort of want to get vaccinated. They're not getting their proper health, they're saying. So I'm looking at this thing. This is just blowing me away, because with all the knowledge that I have about these vaccines, that's happening. So I thought we'll start a web page, and we'll actually start sending it out to all the native reserves, warning them not to take this shot. And hopefully we can do this with the Canadian Action Party and really make them aware, because I've been talking about New World Order stuff and stuff like that, and that doesn't seem to be working at all. Everybody thinks I'm a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But this flu thing is going to happen, and it's going to happen on reserves. And it's starting on reserve, and if you take that shot, you're done. You're going to be sick, or something major is going to happen. These shots are no good. We have all the documentation proving that, showing that. And hopefully our website is up and running pretty soon. And we'll take it from there and see what happens. But I figure that's the way to go. Start warning these natives first. And really start warning.
It's just so important.
Website.
We're just getting that website going right now. I don't have it right now, but it will be running pretty soon. We'll have a lot of stuff going pretty soon.
Yeah, good.
And what the website is going to be, actually, it's going to be all on how vaccines are bad, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to be how vaccines are all bad and all native injustices. So there's going to be tons of that kind of stuff on there, too.
Right.
We have to warn these people now, because they've been announcing it on TV and everything like that. This is going to be a massive thing, and this is going to be starting right away. And you cannot take a shot, plain and simple. Do not take a shot.
Yeah, it's so important, and they're even scheduling like three shots, and they have millions of these doses of this already for the United States too. I think it was almost 300 million doses of it. Like, it's so insane. These inoculations could not possibly have been adequately scientifically tested. And the history of vaccines shows over and over again it causing massive side effects and damages to people. And no one ever holds the pharmaceutical companies responsible for it.
Well, yeah, this is bad. And they're asking for it now. These reserves are asking for this shot now. So, like, we got to really put a stop to this thing. And we do this. When we start doing this thing, it's going to be like right against Health Canada, the whole nine yards, because Health Canada is corrupt to the core.
Yeah,
and like we got all the documentation to show this stuff.
What's the federal government?
We start doing this pretty soon, and hopefully the Canadian Action Party will be behind us and everything with this thing, because this is so important. This is
Robin. Do you have an email?
I do, my personal email. There, I do. Sacred-land.
I'm sorry, sacred-land.
At excite.com.
Sacred-land.
Yes.
At excite.
.com, yes.
Thank you.
And if people could really contribute to this thing too, because you know, any knowledge that you can put in this thing, too. There'll be blogs and stuff like that, too, because, well, we got to get this out there.
Yeah.
You know, plain and simple, the time is now.
Yeah, and we need a coordinated effort because it's not just a Native issue. It's a broader societal issue, and we've got to move fast now because they're going to start selling it more and more through the criminal.
Well, the way I look at this thing, and that's what it is, it hits everybody, right? It hits everybody, but I figure if we start with the Native community, at least you're targeting one group right there and let it explode from there and let everybody start talking about it, and as soon as they start talking about it, well, you know what's going to happen from there. This thing could explode like big time.
Yeah.
And it's going to hit everybody, and it's the vaccines. We're going to get the vaccines, but everything else will fall into place. You'll start learning about the whole corporate takeover, the whole nine yards, but you learn about the vaccine, and that'll be enough to scare the hell out of everybody, because it sure does to me.
What is Health Canada's rationale for targeting or beginning with the Native population? What's their explanation for that? Does anybody know?
Well, stuff is good, of course.
Sorry.
Well, some of the Canadian cases have been in a place in one of the reserves in Winnipeg where they had a higher incident, and the people there also had less wealth and more unsanitary positions. It's probably where they decided to spread it in Canada to justify what they wanted to lead up to. But anyway, so there, it's thus far in the spread of it in Canada, there's been a higher ratio of natives, in part because of some of the squalor and unhealthy conditions they live in.
Of course, they use that as a justification to set up the residential schools. They always use that to justify doing whatever they want to Native people.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what it is, but this time it's you're talking about everybody, and everybody is going to be sick or everybody is going to die. So this is... Man, this is a big one. There's a takeover happening, whether everybody likes it or not. There is a corporate takeover happening, and this is all going to happen. It's all happening now, and there is no more time left.
I really agree with you.
Once you start taking these things, it's no good.
I agree with you, Robin, because see, I think they've been exposed over 9/11. Like, they've been too widely exposed, and now too many of tens of millions of us who realize how criminalized the whole system has become. And that there really is this group of elite psychopaths who kind of are taking control of our countries. Like, more and more people are waking up to these facts.
Well, there's going to be people lining up to get this shot. Like, lining up, tripping over everybody to get this shot.
Yeah.
Like, we got to stop this now. And I think this is the way now, because, there's no time left in this thing. I think this is the way to go, is get this out to all the reserves and take it from there, see what happens from there. Like, of course, it's going to be for everybody, but target these people first. And I don't know. It's this heavy world we live in.
And you may find you'll run into similar problems. You'll find, I would think, that among different reserves, that they've infiltrated those places, too, and many of their key people are kind of bought out and go along with it and would oppose the truth coming out, and that'll be a problem.
Even if we get a couple of reserves refusing to take it and talking about it, right from there. It just happens from there.
Kevin, any comment?
It's going to balloon. This thing is going to balloon because, well, it already has. There's already people wanting to get part of the webpage and stuff like that. And we're going to have tons and tons of information on the dangers of these vaccines.
Yeah,
no matter what anybody says, these things are no good. This is part of the takeover.
Robin, it'd be great if you called into our program. I do a radio program in Vancouver, and I'll write to you, and maybe you can phone in and talk about your website.
Yeah, great. I'd like to have yours on there, actually, too, for the Native injustices and stuff like that.
Okay.
I'll
write to you tonight.
Right now, Yeah, we're just getting this thing up and started now and talking more with the Canadian Action Party and see what happens here and see what happens on this thing.
Yeah.
Got to warn everybody, is all I know.
You know, back in 2000, in the Stolo Reserve and just east of Vancouver, a friend of mine, she was a public health nurse, and she found that the medical services branch of Health Canada was going into Native homes and literally inoculating people without their consent, including little kids, and some of the elders died as a result of these flu shots. So I think they were trying this out years ago. You don't hear about this, but, you know, this has been going on Indian reserves for a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable how
long time. I mean, that's why there is so much sickness on reserves to start with.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was a public health nurse. She tried to hold workshops with some of the women about alternatives to vaccinations, and she got fired for doing so. Health Canada just threw her out for talking about, you know, anything, an alternative to the vaccines. So, I mean, this was 10 years ago almost.
You can see how criminal the whole enterprise is when anyone steps forward and tells the truth or suggests other methods that they're fired. Like, you just see the criminal intent of the people behind them, that they're intentionally deceiving us.
Well, I like your expression, you know, how the institutions have become criminalized. That's the reality, you know, we're dealing with criminal bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a criminal society, like, and not just Canada, I mean, it's like all the countries of the world are run by criminal elites, essentially.
Yeah.
And
here's another thing. I'm a native, and I have never voted yet. Mm-hmm. And this time, I'm voting around, and I'm going to vote for the Canadian Action Party, and everybody that's listening to this, vote for that as well, and please look into what they're doing, because they're the only ones that are going to fight this thing for you. And this time when I go around and vote, this is what I'm going to do. And I've never voted yet, and I'm 54 years old.
Oh, I'm hoping, Robin, you might become a candidate for us in Red Deer. Maybe
I'm moving pretty soon myself. I'm moving to BC, but I'm definitely going to be involved with everything here now.
Yeah, great.
But I definitely want to be involved with this party, too, because this is the only party that does anything.
It's a truth party. I mean,
it's a truth party.
And the people in it, they know about the New World Order. Like, the secret's out of the bag. There's an elephant in the room, you know? And we're talking about it now. And the whole criminalization of our society and all this fraudulent wars and these genocidal things being done against people, it's terrible. You know, we can put it together now. The conspiracy theorists were right the whole time. If you're not a conspiracy theorist, I say you're an idiot, because you don't think criminals meet together behind closed doors and sit around tables and make criminal plans. What do you think they do? Of course they do. They conspire all the time. There are all these thousands of groups conspiring all the time. The media has kind of said, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, as though it's foolish. I mean, it just shows their brainwashing, their intentional deception of the public. So the public thinks to be a conspiracy theorist is irrational or something.
Well, we're on our final step right now. People are finding out more and more about this, so they're on the final step right as we speak. These vaccinations are going to be starting by the end of summer. So this leaves us how much time? Not too much time to get this word out.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't, no.
And also, I guess then it'd be so good, like, everybody gets together and we start doing this thing, like you're saying, and, you know, get more people involved, the merrier.
Yeah.
And that's what sort of looks like happening now. It sort of looks like it's happening now with this. It's starting to balloon already.
Yeah. That's how it has to spread. And it's like one thread could undo a whole garment. And there were so many threads, there's so many loose threads, like 9/11, like people couldn't get that, they couldn't get this, but one day that we'll get that thread and we'll pull it and the whole thing will become unraveled and people will wake up more and more, realize how outrageous this is, how we've been treated by our governments and police. Kevin, you've been involved recently. I did want to count you to report a little bit further on your activities. You've been involved in BC. You had a day where you were trying to get groups to go out to United Churches to protest the cover-up by the United Church.
Well, that's something that happened recently. Some people came forward whose sister had been killed at the Edmonton Residential School. A little girl called Vicky Stewart was beaten to death with hit on the back of the head with a 2x4, and then she died the next day. We held a press conference about that and then sent a letter to the United Church asking them to respond, and they haven't. And so on July 5th, we're asking people, that's a Sunday, we're asking people to go and stand outside United Churches and demand that they come clean and admit to the murder of Vicky Stewart. There's stuff about that on our website, hiddenfromhistory.org, but that's something we're going to be doing in a few cities, including Vancouver. and just keeping up that kind of pressure, because it's actually that kind of public pressure that I think was a big factor in forcing the apology last year by Stephen Harper and even this year by the Pope. You know, we can't underestimate the effect we have when we're standing on the truth and you go out publicly with it. They have to respond in some way, you know. And so that's the importance, I think, of doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, they get away with so little, like the Pope apologizes, but the Catholic organization is so criminal and it is just ongoing, and they have such a history of pedophilia and the wickedness within the Catholic Church. Like, so what? He apologizes one day. Like, it's fraudulent, really, you know?
Well, he didn't even apologize, actually. He never used the word. He just said he expressed regret, or no, he expressed sorrow that some children had been harmed by some priests. Well, that's a complete distortion. It's like saying, you know, a few SS guards killed a few inmates at Auschwitz. You know, that's ridiculous. He doesn't talk about the fact that his church sanctioned it for centuries. And this Pope now, Ratzinger, he himself sent out a letter a few years ago ordering all the bishops and priests to cover up this evidence of sexual abuse and other crimes in the church. So this guy's engaged in a crime, and it's another example of what you call the criminalization of the churches, too. They're engaged in these huge crimes of obstructing justice, and yet they're able to get away with it.
And it seems through your research that historically they've taken native resources through kind of, like in BC, they stole a lot of native land, which they kind of sold to the corporations, but was underhanded. Can you say something about that?
Well, any native person could talk about that. They experience it every day. I mean, most of the homeless people in Vancouver are being forced off their land up north. Often their own chiefs will sign deals with different companies, and they lose their trap lines and their land and everything. And they end up homeless down in the cities in the south. And so this is, you know, I think, one of the main causes of the genocide in the first place. It was always about getting the land, getting the resources, and it's still, you know, the big impetus, I think, you know.
Yeah. Robin, any comment?
It's all tied in together, all of it.
It does.
It's all the world order.
Yeah.
All of it, the church, everything, it's all tied in.
Yep.
Robin, I call it the old world psychiatric disorder, because that's
what it is.
It's a group of psychiatrically disordered elitists who think they're some kind of elitists, but they're really psychopaths and perverts and pedophiles, largely. They're really lower, baser types, and these people have kind of risen to power and acquired control at higher levels of our police and intelligence and military communities, our corporate communities. It's amazing. Our political parties. It's a whole web of a sick web. It really is. It breaks my heart.
Natives fought before for their land claims and stuff like that. Under this new system, there is going to be no land claims. There is going to be no reserves, period.
No.
That's the bottom line.
There's not going to be any natives if they have their way.
Now, if they have their way, and this thing is in the final stages, there will be no reserves. Under the North American Union, there will be no reserves. Canada has already been sold out.
Yeah.
Under the North American Union, there will be no reserves. It's just a matter of time till they get rid of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to take our country back. Like, it's in a way, it's already been done. It's just unveiled in stages. But in a way, like, Canada's been lost, at least on paper, unless we can take the country back. If we could take the government back and then, you know, succeed from the SPP and the trade agreements and so on, and reclaim our Canadian sovereignty. And charge these people criminally who've been involved in all these crimes. It's like the police don't do anything anymore, you know? What did the police do?
When we start this website and everything else, you might as well say you're taking on Health Canada as well.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a ride involved, taking on Health Canada.
Well, we have common law rights to set up our own courts to perform citizens' arrest against people in danger in our communities, so...
Mm-hmm.
You should start exercising those rights.
Mm-hmm. How do we do that, Kevin? Tell us more about that, how we're setting up civilian courts.
Well, you know, here on the coast, some of the traditional chiefs, like in the Squamish Nation, have talked about setting up their own longhouse and their court system, because they can't rely on the white courts for anything. And try and perpetrators in these courts, the people who would not only did the crimes in the residential schools, but people who were, I mean, involved in other attacks on Native people and that. So they've talked about doing that, but under European common law, we have the right to do that too. I mean, if the courts and the police aren't serving us, we have the right to take action on our own to defend
yeah.
ourselves. So I think that that's something that we people should consider doing instead of going through the dead end of the court. Until, I mean, anyone who's had any contact with the courts and police know how it's set up to protect the perpetrators in the criminal system.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't use it. You've got to take action on your own. So, I mean, it's a big step, but the more of us who do it, the easier it is.
Wow, civilian courts, that's a really good idea. Like, you could have civilian courts where you had all different experts, like, say, come talk about vaccinations and
mm-hmm.
And have lawyers who would define the law and what genocide is and the administration of toxic substances and all the crimes
yep.
they're guilty of. And we can put their names there. If we can research this, and we could, that's an amazing idea to have civilian courts over the vaccination issue. I think it would be very interesting, very valuable.
I think we need to. That's a necessary step. And it's also a way to empower people instead of having to sit back and wait for some member of parliament to take action. I mean, that's just disempowering. We need to empower our own people by taking that step, you know.
Yeah.
Give them something they can do concretely.
Yeah.
With one problem we run across big time, we've got 2-3 months to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be happening now.
Mm-hmm.
You've already announced it.
Yep.
That's not much time.
Well, I mean, I think we need to consider different avenues. I think we need to take the legal brief constructed by this Australian person and take it to RCMP in Canada and try to expose their corruption.
Yeah.
I make that a public document that we want to investigate. I mean, we need a civilian investigation of the RCMP. Like, why have the RCMP betrayed the Canadian people and allowed wanton criminality within our nation? And they do nothing about all these things. There were 24 Canadians killed on 9/11. The world no longer buys that it was Osama bin Laden and reindeer. Like, it's gone too far. Like, why can't are they afraid of these criminals? Is that the problem with the RCMP? They're afraid? I mean, why do they always protect the criminals? What happened about 9/11 and the RCMP? Are they all totally incompetent? What do you think? Anyone? Give
well,
me hope.
I think on that thing, it's not the RCMP. It's not the federal government. It's people within the RCMP, people within the federal government, right at the very, very top, who call the shots.
Yeah.
And they're part of the whole scam, so... You know, they run everything. They run the food. They run everything. Everything.
It's
nothing that they don't own.
People never had a chance, eh? People were so deceived through the media and all the lies. Like people, I don't think people had a chance against these people.
You know what? I think the most important thing first is if everybody understands how the money works. Once you understand how the money works, then everything sort of falls into place. Because the Federal Reserve out of the states is federal only by name only. Money is printed by 13 private families. And that's who owns the world, controls the world.
Mm-hmm.
You own all the money in the world, you can do anything you want. When you control
it. Well, they can't. They can't find love.
Which is another thing. You know, like you're talking Obama and stuff like that. Which is another thing. He's going to bring everything down. He's part of it, too.
Yeah.
They all work for the bankers. All work for the elite.
He's their new front man. That's exactly what
he's their new front man. So when I talk about these vaccines and everybody talks about these vaccines, this is going to happen. This is going to happen now. Too many people are finding out. They're going to do it now all across the Western world. Across the world as far as that goes.
Their crimes are being so widely displayed publicly that it pushes up their agenda because they're being exposed. Like, there's more and more resistance, like people are beginning to get it. Once you begin to wake up, it's like you can't go back, like you can't just pretend it's not happening. Like, this is coming down, it's being done to us, our children, the native people, people of Afghanistan, the Middle East, like it's horrendous what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we as planetary citizens, we have to take control of our countries back from these people.
Well, I think the more people we can get now behind this vaccination thing, getting these, all the natives aware of this thing, hopefully you get native communities talking about it, native communities refusing to take this vaccine, and then hopefully it blows up from there, like for everybody, and then everybody can just refuse taking these vaccines. And then
I'm going to have to go now, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Kevin, can you, just before you leave, can you give out your website again and just say what you have coming up that we...
www.hiddenfromhistory.org, and there's a lot of stuff on there, including the upcoming protest on July 5th outside the United Churches. But people can write to me at hiddenfromhistory@yahoo.ca, and I'll be in touch with you, you guys, more about this, and especially Robin, about your website.
Okay, great. And it was nice meeting you too, Kevin.
And we all need to be working at this vaccination issue. This is just too important. It's like this is right before our eyes. It's the same history. Yeah,
thank you,
Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Robin.
Yes.
Yes. I lost power here, so I don't have a watch. What time do you have?
I don't even have any.
Oh, you don't have one either? Okay.
A quarter to four.
Okay, thanks. Jim, are you still there? Dad, would you have any further comment on our interactions and such?
Well, I kind of agree with Robin. Like when you said about the RCMP, it's not the entire RCMP. I mean, it's like people in critical places make critical decisions, and everything else follows from that. You know, that's how these guys work. Like, they fix people, and they do scare people, and they do threaten
people.
They do coerce people. I mean, that's how things get done, you know? People do things out of ambition, and people... I agree with Robin. I'll go back to the line in All the President's Men about the uncovering of Watergate. You know, the Deep Throat says to Bob Woodward, follow the money. If you follow the money, you'll never be wrong, you know? Who's getting rich? It explains so much. Once you understand where the money's coming from and where it's going, everything else falls into place. That's my opinion.
Well, I think things have fallen into place a lot for people. Like, it all does fit together. It all does make sense. The only way of making sense of everything is that it's all true and it all kind of comes together, that there are these groups of elites who kind of control our governments and multinational corporations, and they are trying to take the wealth of the world and impoverish people and reduce our numbers. Like that, I think that's, you know, it all comes together. You don't have to be a Sherlock Holmes to arrive at that.
I guess the other side of it, though, is like, I mean, again, I'll go back to this thing about reducing world population. I think history is pretty clear that certain populations in certain places have been targeted for genocide. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that. There's no question. But in terms of reducing world population, they're not doing a very good job of it because the world population keeps growing all the time. I mean, there's a lot of people.
Well, that's what we're saying is coming up, is that they're making their major moves.
Yeah, well, I mean, but, you know, like, I mean, in China, you have a state where people are not allowed to have more than one kid, you know, like, that's a law. And so, I mean, there are different ways of controlling populations. So I'm not sure that I buy a lot of the theories that this is part of a vast conspiracy to reduce world population. I mean, like, the whole thing with vaccinations is, like, even with, you know, before this whole swine flu, doctors always tell you, you know, Health Canada always tells you, oh, you should get vaccinated for the flu. But you're being vaccinated, the vaccinations are always created from the flu the year before. The flu the year before has already mutated into a new flu. So basically, you're getting vaccinated for something that's not a threat to you. I could never understand what a flu shot is supposed to do for you. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. So these guys will do anything for a buck. That's what it boils down to. It's like they'll exploit you and they'll scare you. And that's a big part of it. It's like you said before. It's like they're going to ramp this up and they're going to play on your emotions and your fears. Like, oh, you know, if you love your kids, you'll go out and get them vaccinated. And that's how they're going to sell this thing, you know.
Yeah.
But it's complete BS, you know. And it's just scary. It's just like terrorism, you know. Just scare you. Like, you know, if you don't do this, a fate worse than death awaits you. That's how these guys operate, you know, no matter what it is. Communism, terrorism, you know, flus, you know, like, that's how they work. Like, and now, the media reaches people in so many places, and it reaches into our lives in so many different ways. It's so easy to manipulate people to scare them, you know. And people make bad decisions because they're scared.
Don't take the vaccine.
Yeah, right? We have a lot to be scared of in these times.
We're scared of the wrong things. We should be scared of these guys.
Well, we should, and their vaccines. I didn't know, Robin, when Kevin was on, I think you missed this, he talked about, like, you know, when the European, British, I think, distributed blankets with the flu from Europe, where people had died. They brought the blankets over and gave those freely to the natives in the eastern coast of the United States. That's how they spread the flu within the native community.
Smallpox.
And committed.
It wasn't a flu, it was smallpox.
Smallpox. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, they did that. So that was their earlier genocidal plan. Yeah.
Well, they're putting live viruses now in vaccines.
Yeah, so you're not getting blankets this time, you're getting vaccines instead.
The real thing this time.
Yeah, well, the other thing was the real thing. I mean, they're even related, the flus. I mean, they design all these things. They experiment on people and design what can be maximally effective and is terrible.
And this next wave of flu that comes, it's going to be a stronger one. It's their mandate thing. It's going to be a stronger one. It hits here next time. It's going to be hitting here pretty quick before fall starts, before this vaccination thing starts. And we've got to do it now is all I can say.
Yeah. And we also need, have you heard there are two substances that I've been hearing widely that are very valuable for people to be taking. One is silver water, and the other is oregano oil. And both of those substances are natural antibiotics. So if you pick up germs, but you take those, it's a natural antibiotic. Now, if the government of Canada was serious about the health care of Canadians, what they would be doing is producing silver water and oregano oil and solvent naturally instead of giving inoculations, which will have all kinds of adverse side effects with all kinds of pollutants in the vaccinations, completely untested and completely unnatural.
Well, you open up another can of worms there again, because within the year, you're talking about colloidal silver. I take that myself in our house. We take oregano oil. Within a year, colloidal silver, you will not be able to get colloidal silver. Colloidal silver, they're going to be shutting down all the health food stores.
Yeah.
They're saying this stuff is no good. It hasn't been tested, blah, blah, blah. But yet health food stores yet hasn't killed anybody. How many people have pharmaceutical drugs killed? That's going to happen. And on top of that thing, now food is going to have to be... Any food that hits a supermarket is going to have to be radiated first. And that means if it gets radiated first, your food is no good. It's lost all nutritious value if it's not modified in the first place. And what that means is there's going to be no more organic farming. A farmer will not be able to sell a carrot unless it's went through this radiation machine first. So they have all the nutrients in the vegetables, too.
No, it all fits a consistent pattern. Like these people are trying to bring about impoverishment, starvation, sickness, and death. That's what they have different programs they run to do affect those. I mean, the way they're degrading our food supply.
Our food supply is you can't get nothing any good. Everything that is modified is no good for nothing. Totally no good for nothing. You've got a pesticide right inside the seed. So that means your food is no good. You're eating a pesticide, and it's in everything. Every vegetable you go buy in the supermarket now, it's everywhere. It's in all your beef, too. Bovine growth hormone. Through the milk, through the cheese. And this stuff is making diabetes on the rise big time. MS is on the rise big time. So these are the people that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
The same people that are putting it in the vaccines.
Yeah, and then the same people that sell you the medicine to deal with the sicknesses
same
that they create.
Same people on the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
Exactly. Same people. That's what they're trying to do, get everybody sick here, too.
Yeah.
That's another part of their big plan. That's happening right now. All the sickness is on an explosion everywhere.
Western
world, anyway.
Do you see a lot of chemtrails spraying where you are?
Chemtrails down here just every day. Every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I watch them here where I am, too. We've had a break this last week from them, which is really nice. You forget what it's like not to be sprayed by them. Because they become, it was a clear day. You forget how beautiful it is. These people are...
finally, days are over when you fight with guns. She's all biological these days.
Yeah.
And they're after us.
Yeah.
They're after everybody. One world government. They're after everybody.
And it's funny because if people could awaken enough and people kind of like step back from it, if we could kind of deal with this and have exposure of all this and take our country back, like it was there, we have so much in our country, we could have all had such abundance and wealth and opportunity and such. They created all these troubles, have been created by their criminality. We've never known what it meant, would mean even to have a non-criminal government, not in modern history. Robin, I'm pleased you kind of become active in the Canadian Action Party, and you know I am too. Sorry,
I've just been learning about it. Actually, it's the only one that speaks for everybody.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you vote conservative or you vote liberal. It makes no difference. We're all going for the same agenda. So don't vote conservative, liberal, plain and simple, or NDP as far as that goes, because they're all going for the same agenda. Same agenda.
Yeah, they are. Even the Greens are. Even the Greens, I saw Elizabeth May out on the golf courses with the Clintons and the corporate elite just after she won the leadership of that party. You know, it's just they own all the horses. You know, they own the Democrats, they own the Republicans. It's just all a big lie.
Well, I'm just learning about the Canadian Action Party myself. Probably the last 6 months, I'm going to be a member here right away myself. And I'm telling everybody else, too, now, be part of this thing and at least check them out and see what they do, because they're the only ones that are going to be standing up for you, the only ones that are talking about vaccinations, the only ones that are talking about North American Union, the only ones that are talking about 9/11.
It's amazing you hear other politicians and they get on TV. It's just all lie and, like, superficial stuff. They don't deal with any of the real issues. It's so amazing, kind of.
No, it's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
So, and you're going to be on the subcommittee or committee with me for Aboriginal concerns in Canada, Robin, and I hope over time you might even consider stepping into a chairmanship role in that committee, because one of the policies we developed, which I wrote, ended with saying that ideally we wanted a native person in that position. So if you want to work with the Canadian Action Party and would considering taking that position, that might be open to you over time. But we certainly want to work together however we can over the next weeks and months.
That'd be actually great, yeah. You know, I'd like to work with you guys as much as I can, because taking this thing on, it'd be nice to have a little bit of backing with you guys.
Because we are a legitimate federal party, so it gives us a way in which to go out to talk to people about what the issues are and distribute literature and stuff like this. And we need to begin at a grassroots level, you know, just printing out pages of material and making DVDs and CDs. And, you know, it can spread like wildfire, like if people begin to wake up to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take our country back. We really do. You know, we've lost our country. You know.
Well, I think right now we're on a timetable, like big time, like a big timetable here. Like this is so urgent, because this is happening really soon.
Yeah.
Really soon.
And it's happening every day, because these terrible things are being done every day. You know, the Americans and. You know, they're kind of over in the Middle East, and they might engage in a whole other war against Iran and Pakistan now. They're creating war. Like, it's happening now. Like, these terrible things are being done around the world. And behind it all is just, like, a small groups of people, like psychopaths and such. If we can wake people up, we could have a whole new world. I think sometimes people need the idea of what a real new world would be like, a new age, if we could take back our countries from these people. And we all need to come together, the native and non-native and citizens and non-citizens and people across all walks of life and across all religions. We need to kind of wake up and draw together and become active. and talk to people.
Well, times are going to get rough here, eh? Like, times are going to get really rough. I've been studying this now for about a year and a half, and all the information that I have right now says there's going to be an economic crash, and that's what Obama's in there doing right now, is to bring down the American dollar. Well, they're gearing up everywhere. All over the states are gearing up for martial law. Like, you look at places that nobody's hearing on the news and stuff like that. California is bankrupt. There's no money to pay any police. They're going to be letting people out of jail pretty soon. 30 more states just on the tip of bankruptcy. Now, when a state goes down, that dollar goes down, which is the whole plan, bring the American dollar down, to bring in the Amero or to bring in a world currency. Okay, so this thing is going down. The information that I got says this economic crash is going to happen later on this year, September, October, or early in the new year. What that means is there's no food on the road, no nothing. Just think of the consequences. This is going to be heavy. Now, this is taking place. You got this economic crash along with this damn flu you're going to be fighting and everything else with these inoculations. Now figure somebody comes up with an idea to get one world currency and save the world. How many people now are going to stand in line to do it? Everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, these are the risks.
This sounds really, really heavy-duty stuff that I'm saying here right now, but if people did their own research and find out, this is what I come up with. This is all real.
Yeah, I think there could be other false flag terrorist events. They could use other weapons against the states, because they can play all these games by imposing martial law and rounding everyone up. And everybody believes the story that they're told on TV. You know, they'll say Bugs Bunny did it. And they make it's such a fraud. If people start seeing that the people who are doing these are within our own society, we need to capture these people. These are criminal things. We appeal to our police and the military, like, to stand up to your duties and oaths of office. And why are common people like yourself and I, Robin, have to try to bring about justice in our society? You know, why don't the people who are meant to be doing this, like, do this, you know? These people are insane.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's outrageous, you know? Anyway, it's disheartening. I think we may be getting close to the end here. I don't have the time myself. Thanks again for being on, Robin, and we'll keep in touch, and I'll have you back on a future show, please.
Oh, definitely, for sure. We'll definitely keep in touch and get this thing happening.
Yeah, I've been creating a web page. Hey, Robin, before you go, have you seen that Universal Declaration of, where people don't want to have...
We got to hurry. We got to hurry and shut her down. We're over quite a bit now, and the other host is already on the line.
Okay. There was a petition being signed. I think it's useful to circulate that against enforced inoculations. These are very important issues. Thanks again, Robin, for being here. Thanks, Jim Moffitt. Sorry we didn't have more time to wrap up. This is Christopher Holmes. Please visit my website at www.zeropoint.ca. I'm going to be getting CAP materials and policies up on the website soon. Okay, thanks very much. Thanks, BBS Radio. Members, maintain, be upright of heart. Thank you.